Okay, so here we are on Daf Chof Vav, and thank heavens we're up to where we're supposed to be. We're right up at the Mishnah, and Sabbath Josh has been practicing to give us a rousing
Zukta Heilige Mishnah.
V'chulam. Now, all of the above cases, and we had quite a number of cases, somebody who asks a woman, Zechochon, is not allowed to marry the wife, somebody brings a get, somebody who says, I saw your husband die, or I murdered him, as the case may be. And we said over there that we cannot allow the individual who's personally involved in the heter of the woman to go ahead and to marry that woman. Doesn't look good. Says the Mishnah, however, if at the time that the Chochom was ossering the woman for the neder, the person comes along and brings a get and says, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav, and so on and so forth. If at that time the individual has a wife, we're not cheshed that he's planning now on getting rid of his wife and taking this woman. And so Memela, if they had a wife at the time and then the wife dies, then they could go right ahead and marry this woman, because we don't think that they plan to get, to use Italian divorce. You know, so if the wife died, then the assumption is that while she was alive, he wasn't planning on getting married to somebody else. So then he can go ahead and marry. V'kulam, not only that, but these women who subsequently went ahead and married somebody else, as opposed to the person who was matir them, and then they became divorced from that person, or that person died under Mr. Yusser. No, he just simply died, or shnit almanu. Now mutarot inasei lahem. Now they can go back, and we don't say this was long-term planning, you know, that they figured, well, eventually we'll get them in the second round. That's not the, certainly wasn't the intent, and therefore there's no longer any question of lazut svatayim, rinanot, and so on. Furthermore, let's say that that chacham had a son, or had a brother, or the person who's bringing the get as a son or a daughter. We're not cheshish that it looks bad for someone in a family, like a son or a daughter, a son or a brother, to marry that woman. That's okay. Now, the Mishnah says that in cases where their wife dies, they're able to go and marry the woman that otherwise we would have thought they had some personal negiut in being matir. But that's mashma, that if they go in and divorce their wives, that then on the contrary, we're assuming, aha. So, this was indeed quite a long-term plan. Guy goes ahead, ossers a woman and says, oh, there's no way out of that neder. She ends up getting divorced, at which point he divorces his wife and goes in and takes her. So that's not a good scene. So that would be prohibited. Dafka, if the wife dies, then it's okay. We certainly don't think that this guy got rid of her in order to marry this other one. Omale, Rav Hillel or Rav Ashi, it's an interesting deal from the Mishnah. The problem is that the Braita says, even if they went ahead and subsequently got divorced, and at the time they were married, and we don't think that the person turned out to be the maybe the get and say before 9 o'clock for the next time, with the plan that after he would divorce his wife, he would then be able to go and marry. So then it's a contradiction. The Mishnah says, Dafka, if the wife dies, the Braita says, even if he divorces his wife, one is talking about where the marriage was on the rocks. The marriage was on the rocks. And indeed, we do think that there was some long-term planning over here. The guy is made that her original husband died. Then a half a year later, he just manages to give his wife a get and ends up marrying the woman that he claimed that my husband had died. Now, Rashi takes the opposite approach to that, and he says that the question over here is not whether he thought about her before, but rather whether it may be suspicious that he's divorcing her because. So therefore, if they were already fighting and it was on the rocks beforehand, before he was thinking about her, so then even if nitgarshu, it's not because of her. And the other way around, if they weren't fighting, so then we're, oh, wait a minute, all of a sudden,
must be that he had looked at her and decided to divorce his original wife.
Or we could say, actually, we could even understand both cases. We have no indication that there was any problem with the marriage, and nonetheless, if he suddenly creates problems, then the assumption is that he sort of likes this woman and figured out ways to get rid of his wife. So he basically turned his marriage sour. Whereas the case that says that it's not a problem if he divorces her is talking about where she created the problem. Can't you just see the scenes? What do you mean? He created the problems. No, she created the problem. So hoda argil, hu va'oda argila hi. The question is, who's bringing this marriage, the issues, to a head? V'chulam shenis'u. Now, the Mishnah continues on to say that if these women went ahead and got married to somebody else in between, then there's no problem. At this point, we believe that kasal kataitach, misa amisa, v'gerishin agerishin. We thought that both cases are a reference to all the cases above. So in other words, if the woman either is widowed or divorced from the second marriage, then that would allow the cases earlier in which either the guy, the original husband, had died, because this person was made that her husband died, or had been divorced in the previous case, where over there he brought the get and he said before nine eftan, that we could match those up, meaning that this woman got divorced twice in a row, if that would be the case, or had husbands that died twice in a row. Nonetheless, it's saying that if a woman had a husband who died two times in a row, not the same husband, so then it would be okay for him to go and marry her and be the third husband. Sounds a little bit creepy. And indeed, there is a question as to whether a chazaka is created with two times. And according to Rebbe, if a woman marries and her husband dies twice in a row, then she's not allowed to marry the third husband because we're chayshish that she is dangerous. Katlanit. And, exactly. And Rashi learns the kash is also gerish and agerish. Now, once she's already been seen to get divorced twice, that she shouldn't marry the third guy just to get divorced the third time. I mean, what exactly is the issue in that? I mean, understand, you don't want to risk your life. Tosfos argues on Rashi. Tosfos says, whoever heard of a chash of gerushin? I mean, gerushin isn't dependent on mazel. Gerushin is basically up to you. I mean, you want to get divorced, you get divorced. You don't, you deal with it. I mean, death is usually not up to you. So what's the comparison, Biflal? Lamaisa, I mean, Ritzalim Azalma was asked to Shaila on occasions, halacha lamaisa, whether. He said the gerushin, a gerushin is clearly just an eitz teva kind of thing. How could they ask you to marry a woman that's a, maybe there's issues of Afterlechata Mocha, I mean, why go through the hell? You might as well not start. But it's certainly not an Isser the way the Katlanit is an Isser. So we'll see that the blame over here is in terms of mazel. We understand that the man's mazel is defined by who he marries. But there's also another pshat, which is a big problem for Rashi, because it's a machlokus whether the problem, the katlanit, is that we're afraid that there is some type of disease that may be some type of venereal disease that we don't know about, and mayanakasha, it's the interrelationship between them that's causing this problem, which obviously has nothing to do with Gerish. So the Achronim ask, according to Rashi, when the Gemara says, what's the nafkamina, whether it's because of the mazel or because of Mayona, the Gemara could have said a very simple nafkamina. Nafkamina is Gerishin. Because Gerishin has nothing to do with Mayona, but Gerishin has everything to do with the mazel, you could say. So, okay, and it's an interesting kash on Rashi. In any event, as I said, Taisus and other Rishonim hold that the issue, we're just bringing in Gerishin, a Gerishin, because we're keeping it parallel, but the only problem we have is that Misa, a Misa is a problem. A guy comes along, is made that he saw the husband die. And now she gets married to somebody else and the second husband dies. It seems to be saying over here that he can marry her even though he's the third husband. His name was Henry, I think, or something. In any event, but she was the one that was at risk. So, yeah, but we are, but since it's a, if we hold it's a kazaka.
I know a woman who her first husband died, second husband died, and the third husband, they've lived happily for the last 20 years.
It was probably a case where there was no, it's also, we do pass it. Was probably a case, there are cases, we'll see, where we're not chayish, in which case it doesn't prove anything, but otherwise they wouldn't have allowed it, the rabbis. Says the Gemara, so that would mean the local Rebbe, because Rebbe holds, betrays him, the Havi Chazaka, it's Chazaka two times, and supposed to the Shitas that hold three times, and therefore the Mishnah here seems to be implying that two times is not enough to establish a Chazaka. Says the Gemara, well, not necessarily. I mean, maybe when it says over here that Nitgarsho Nitalmanum, it doesn't mean either or, maybe the case is that where the person who said mate, and now the woman goes ahead and gets married and gets divorced, now he can marry because we haven't established any chazaka. Or the case where he said, I'm bringing you this get, and then the woman goes and gets married and the husband dies. Again, she hasn't established a problem two times in a row. So the male of the mitah goes on the gerushin, and the gerushin goes on the case of the mitah, then this has a zilch to do with the machlokas with brethren. Whether chazakas are two times or three times. V'chulan mutarot livneihem ola achihem. All of the above cases would be okay to get married to the daughter, to the son, or to the brother. Now, asks the Gemara, my shinami haditznan. The Mishnah has a much more sophisticated level of hashash than we seem to be talking about over here, because we're going to see later that in a case where there seems to be a relationship and there's rumors, hanit'an min ha'isha, there's rumors that this guy has a relationship with a woman, he is not allowed to marry her mother and her daughter or her sister. Not that a non-marital relationship assers any krovim. All the krovim don't marry the woman's mother in the sense of don't marry a woman and her daughter and her. It's only don't marry. That's not the problem. The problem is that Nabokov was already foreseen in the Mishnah. So this is a classic Lolita problem. He really wants a relationship with the daughter. Ah, so he's married now to the mother. What a coincidence. The daughter just happens to come along. So now the point is that Rechashesh, that basically is going to end up after marrying the mother, then there's going to be a real problem, isn't it? Issacharis is sleeping with the daughter, or vice versa. He's fallen in love with the mother, he's had a relationship with them, he marries the daughter. Now Rechashesh, once he married the daughter, he's really got a problem in sleeping with the mother. He's now becomes an Issacharit. Therefore, where there are such rumors, we don't allow a marriage which will bring him in contact with his previous putative lover. So if that's the case, why don't we think the same nasty thoughts here? The guy really wants to marry her himself, this person who claims that her husband died, but he doesn't want to make it so blatant, so he has his son marry her, thinking all along, but that will give me access. And therefore, we should actually be chayshish. Let mili de lo remiza be oraita. I don't know what he was thinking. Okay? So why don't we think the same problem over here? Answers the Gemara, nashi v'gabe nashi shchichen da'azlan. The reason is that women generally will visit. And therefore, he indeed will have access. So over there, we're choshesh that he shouldn't be married to the relative of his lover, where that would make his lover asura on him as an issacharet, because he's going to end up being nikshal with her. Because generally, women will come around, and he's going to end up. His sister-in-law is going to end up visiting. His stepdaughter is going to end up visiting, and so on. But gavre legabe gavre lo shlichen. We don't worry that the men are going to end up, they're not big visitors, you know? So they're not, They're not going to come along now and visit that we should worry that that's a man. What kind, how much access is it going to have, the Sahakol? What is that? Is there, they're going to come visit that often?
Less than a beer.
Huh?
Less than a beer.
Yeah, but generally family members don't have that same kind of relaxed relationship. So that's one explanation. Another explanation like this. Inami nashi delo asan shkivatan adari. Lumaisa, if he is married to the mother, and he ends up sleeping with the daughter, he doesn't become asr on the mother. Right? There's no such thing as a man becoming usher on his wife because of the fact that he was bizarre with her kara. So therefore, I mean, the bottom line is, okay, she may suspect something's going on, but it's not nogea her too much. He wants to play around with my daughter, so fine. So in other words, over there's not the same type of care in which I want to make absolutely sure he doesn't have access. But over here, if another man sleeps with your wife, so then you got a real problem. How the woman becomes a surah. Therefore, there are greater extremes of shmirah in which a man will watch out that his wife doesn't get involved with his relative. And therefore, the kapteyahadadi. And so, memela, when we say, mutarot livnehen, indeed it is, because if daddy comes around, son is going to say, Dad, how about we meet in the pub, not in the house? So that way he knows that there's no access to his father. Wait a minute. If that's the case, why does the Mishnah say that they are all mutter to your son, the son of the person who was mater the woman, or to the brother? And it seems to very strongly leave out the father. Now, if the issue was that men don't visit so much, then I can understand it. The first teretz I can understand. Because you could say, when it comes to a father, it is the minhag to go visit your father. And over there, indeed, they wouldn't be mutter to the father. They would only be mutter to the son, or to a brother, where we don't have to be choshish if there's going to be access. But a father, to be mater to the father, then the son will have access. Okay, so then, maybe in Erkinami there would be a problem. But now that you're telling me this later pshat, that it has to do with the question of asering, it could have listed the father too. So how come it doesn't say kulam mutarot le'aviyem or v'neyem or achem? It very conspicuously leaves out the father. So according to this latter pshat, ihachi, aviv nami, why is the father also then not included in the ones that it would be mutter to marry? No. According to this pshat is like this. Lomi boy kama. Lomi boy aviv. For sure. I mean, boy aviv. Of course, to the father, she's muteris because he's boss, he's b'nei minei. The son has a sense of awe for his father. Avo b'no de lo boss, he's aviv minei. Mashenka, the other way around, the father isn't worried about the son being upset with him. So, maybe it would be chayish. Kamashman comes along the mission to say, afal piken, we're not chayish, even in that. But certainly, we're not chayish for the father. Hadron aloch, heitzad eshet achiv.
Li neder. Fanshunda heilige terek.
Now at last we get to the mission that we've spoken about so many, many times before. Our favorite mission. The one that introduces all the problems of Zika, the one that talks about the way in which an Erva ends up being the only reason that you can marry your Yibum, instead of you can't marry your Yibum. Right? So this is the case where you've got Arba, Achim, four brothers, two of whom are married to two sisters. This was our great Amuteres Lezeres, Asura Lezeres, Amuteres Lezeres, Achoso, Sheyavimto, Choletzet, Tomishyabemis, great. One of our most wonderful mantras. So we finally get to the mission. We have four brothers. Two of these brothers are married to two sisters. And now the two brothers married to the sisters up and die. Meitu anus anisuim et ha'achayot. So now we got a problem. Now we already have peeked ahead from before, so we know that the problem could consist of two possible issues. Either we can't take both of these, either of these, because each one is the sister of a woman who is zekuka to me for Yibam from the other brother, and therefore I could take neither. That's if you hold the Yesh Zika. Or we've got the other problem, as we spoke about just the other day. The other problem is, even if you don't hold Zika, is a reality to create a semi-ishut on the other one, which would make her achod zikukato. We got another problem over here. Because if we allow the first brother to take one of them, then if the other brother ends up not being mekayim the mitzvos yibum from the other sister, then if he dies, you're ending up pottering her completely, because now she will fall to you and you will be married to her sister, and it turns out she gets out of both Chalitza and Yibum, and no one was ever Mekayim the Mitzvah. And that's called Asur Levato Mitzvat Yabmi. So you'll ask, so if that's the case, let one brother give Chalitza first, remove that problem now, and now you go ahead, because now there's no, won't be Asur on anybody, and now the, you can go ahead and be Miyabe. True. Except that since we're concerned that you'll do it the other way around, we said neither of them should do Yibam, just do Chalitz. Okay. But that's looking ahead. The simplest way of looking at the Mishnah is that it's a Zika problem. And if it's a Zika problem, again, as we said just the other day, in a case where a woman became Asura, even for 5 minutes, for whatever reason, either because of Asur Levato Mitzvat Yabin or because of Zika, since at the time that she fell, she's an Achot, she's an Eshet Ach, and I cannot do Yibum, she will forever be Asura on me for Yibum. Right? So in this case, both brothers have to do Chalitza and not Yibum. Now, if they went ahead and did Yibum, we'd have to, despite the fact that they removed the Zika, and in the case we had just the other day, if you remove Zika and it was two strangers married to two sisters, we'd let you stay. You can see how now the end of the last parak again introduces exactly this sugya, because the, all of the cases up until now were cases of im kintsu lo yotziu. Now we start a new parak with im kintsu yotziu. But dafka, to contrast the cases of the two strangers married to two sisters and the two brothers married to two sisters, because in the case where two brothers are married to two sisters, the issur is permanent. So it doesn't help now to remove the Zika, because the other ones, well, what's the problem? She's not a chutzkukati. My brother was miyabing her. You're 100% right. However, she's permanently asura to you, because for 5 minutes, before he did the yibam, for 5 minutes she was a chutzkukato at the time that your brother died, and therefore that issur is an issur ayla. Again, perhaps only mid rabbanan, but nonetheless, kansu yotziu. Rabbi Eliezer says it's not that simple, because it really does depend on whether there's a real problem of Zika, doesn't it? And that's a machlokas. So Beit Shammai omrim yikaimu, uBeit Hillel omrim yotziu. I think, and we'll see later on, we'll get more into this machlokas, I believe that actually what you claimed is everyone shita is Beit Hillel shita, but really Beit Shammai holds that if they went ahead and they were both miyaben, there's no problem. Hayta achat mehem asura l'achat isur erva. Suppose one of these two sisters also happened to be, for instance, the mother-in-law of the one of the brothers. So then that brother is certainly not going to have a problem of achot skukato, because she's not asura to him. She's skukato. She's asur as an erva. That means she never fell to Yibam. In which case, he could take the other one. So he is asur ba, obviously, even more than before. But it, because of asura ba, and here's the irony, because she is an erva, therefore he can now be miyabing the other one. So the other one now becomes mutar b'achuta. The other brother, however, still's got the problem, because he had achot skukato, and now, despite the fact that his brother took off that issue because he went ahead with miyabim, that's no different than taking it off with chalitza. So therefore, he remains asur b'shtehem. How about if she was asura to one of them only midrabbanan or as a lav? Isser Mitzvah Kedusha, that doesn't help. Because it's not strong enough to remove the Zika, as we said before. The din of Isser Mitzvah Kedusha is Choletzet Velo Mityabemet. So there, you're not going to get out of the problem by having an Isser Mitzvah and Isser Kedusha. Only an Isser Kores, an actual Isser Erva, will completely remove the Chiyuv of Yibum, and therefore remove the Zika, and now you can go ahead and be Miyavim the other one. So then everything makes sense. Now, how about if each one is the mother-in-law of the other one? So now each one of these sisters, is the mother-in-law to surviving brother A, and the other sister is the mother-in-law of surviving brother B. Now, each one has no problem with Akot Skukato. Each one only has one Yavama, and therefore each one can do whatever the heck he wishes. And he can either do Yibum or Chalitza on the single woman that fell to him from out of this pool of two sisters. So therefore, I ta'achapi amasaral zeisreva. And here goes. Oh, don't we love these words? And that's the famous case of Achota. A sister, who is also a sister-in-law, can get into a position where she can do either Chalitza or Yibum, on condition that each one has an additional complicating factor of Erva. Okay, so we already know all about this Mishnah. Now we're going to see that there's things we didn't take into consideration in this Mishnah. We think we know it all, but what we haven't considered is the relationship of the resultant chalitza in some of these cases, where only one brother was capable of a chalitza that was untouched by the problem of Zika or the problem of chalutza chot chalutzato, and the other brother was not. The other brother was involved in that problem. And that is called a chalitza pesula. Now it's not really psula, but since it's a crummy chalitza, because he didn't have the option of yibum, it doesn't have the same value as a full chalitza, possibly. We're going to see that that's a complicating factor in the Mishnah that we have not as yet dealt with. We just kept things very simple until now. A chalitza is a chalitza is a chalitza. But of course you have white roses, red roses, and oranges. You've got all kinds of different kinds of chalitzas. We'll see. But first, let's just make sure that we understand the Mishnah. It says the Gemara, Shema Minah Yesh Zika. I mean, the Mishnah seems to conclusively, I mean, it's not even making an issue. Absolutely, you got a problem. Two sisters fall to you. I mean, what's the problem? It's two separate brothers. I mean, what one has nothing to do with the other. Unless you believe that one has something to do with the other by the very virtue of having fallen to you by Yibum. So then, gosh, how come we had these big machlokas written before? Ravuna Marav, Ein Zika. I mean, what do you do with the Mishnah? Shmarmina Ye Zika. To Ein Zika, explain to me, what is the issue here? Michti, Animitre Bati Ka'atya. Two sisters falling from two completely unrelated homes, as far as they're concerned. Let one brother take one for Yibum, let the brother take the other for Yibum. And we don't have a problem of achot or anything over here. So, v'ayli avim chana. It's two brothers. I don't even get into the issue of achot chalutzato. It's my brother's chalutza, not my chalutza. Unless there's an issue of zekuka. L'yolam emelach, ein zika. Not necessarily. As we know, there's an alternative approach to this entire Mishnah. The alternative approach, bring Mishnah to Kassavar, asulavatel. Mitzvat Yabmid. You cannot put yourself into a position where you may be mevatel completely by having married an erva to the woman who is going to be falling to you for Yibum. So you see, what's the problem over here? Even if I go ahead and I marry one of the sisters, I have a brother who can then go ahead and take care of the other sister. Why do I have to worry about being mevatel mitzvah Yibum? Because Dilma Adim Yabim Chad, suppose the first brother goes at his Biyabim, relying naively on his other brother to take care of the other woman, and he says, me, I didn't do anything to be Mevatel Mitzvah Yabim, And then his brother goes and dies before he ever gets a chance to do Yibum or Chalitza. Never wanted to do Yibum or Chalitza, maybe. Before we get around in the next 20 years to make sure he takes care of it, he ups and dies. So now she's going to fall to her remaining brother who's married to her sister. But she won't fall to him. So now she simply walks away free and breezily waves her handkerchief and goes and marries the guy she always wanted to marry. And there you go, being mevatel mitzvas yabnim. In which case, we have a completely different approach. We don't have to involve ourselves in zika at all. And here too, we have the same logic. Having been asura for those first 5 minutes, or first 20 years, however long it takes, and he wasn't able now to take her because of this chashash, because of that, even if he took her, yotzil. Because now it's just like a drabbanan, Eshet Ach Shalobam Akamitzah, because we didn't allow them it's a Shalobam Akamitzah. So wait a second now, if that's the point, see, I understand why we're talking about a case of four brothers. But see, if the issue is you want to illustrate Zika, right? You could have spoken about three brothers. And then you're telling me the Chiddush of Zika. Now, obviously, it makes more sense to have more brothers than tell me there's even Zika where there's more than one brother. Where the Zika is amorphous. I can't prove that it's this brother, but nonetheless, they're all Zika. We had that question before. Is there Zika even in cases where there's multiple brothers? So, okay, then I understand why the mission wants to tell me the problem over here. There's more than one brother. That it remains alive, right? But if the problem is because Asur Levatel Mitzvat Yabin, That's a big chiddush, also vatal mitzvat yamin. You can illustrate that chiddush with cases in which you have even one brother. Because I would say, don't be miyabim this woman, because the moment that you're miyabim her, you're pottering her sister completely. You will no longer be giving yibum or chalitza to the sister. Mashenkein, if you give chalitza to this woman, now you can give chalitza to the sister. So then you'll be able to be mekayim mitzvah yabim from both brothers. Masha inkein, marrying either of them will prevent you from being mekayim the mitzvah yabim on the remaining brother's wife. So then you've told me the yesod. Oser levato mitzvah yabim. Why do you have to talk about a case of two brothers? What do you mean why? It's obvious why. Because if there's only three brothers in total, with one surviving brother, then it's very clear that in taking one, I'm by definition canceling mitzvah yabim. If I do the yibum on one sister, that means the other sister is kaput. I can't do chalitza, I can't do yibum. Anybody can see that. The chiddush over here is, despite the fact that I can very reasonably say, what do you mean? Let me do yibum on this one, and let my brother do yibum on the other one. Why is there a chashash of being mevatel mitzvah yabim? She's not falling to me, but I have another brother who can deal with the issue. Kamash malan, that even so, we are chayshish for the death of the brother. That's the point. The death of the fourth brother. Therefore, the third brother has no right to do something that may ultimately cause the bitul mitzvah yabim. That's a much bigger chiddush, because it includes not only the din of Asur Levatel Mitzvat Yabin, it includes the halacha that Chayshinan Lemita. We have to be concerned for the death of another brother, and you don't have a right to rely on his doing his job before he dies. So obviously, I want to talk about that chiddush. So I want to talk about four brothers. The problem is, and now it goes in the other direction, if I'm talking about the din of Zika, then I gain nothing by adding brothers. Because I'm telling you that, yay Zika, even though it's not pointed to a particular brother. So that would be true if there's 100 brothers, if there's 2 brothers, exactly the same chiddush. But if you're telling me that the chashash over here is a question of chashinan lemita, then the more brothers you add, the greater is the chiddush. So then why would the Mishnah limit it to the case of four brothers with 2 surviving brothers? The Mishnah should have said, V'yesh achim kayamim, even 100 brothers. And nonetheless, there would still be a chashash of the death, which, I mean, is the more it becomes now a statistical less likelihood, the greater the Kiddush of the Mishnah is. So therefore, ask Gemara, if that's the case, I'achi, why not tell me a bigger Kiddush of more than four brothers, whichever five brothers or more? Because, in fact, I wouldn't be Chayshish in that case. In fact, there wouldn't be a problem. Because Lamita, the tree, lo chashina, if the third brother, the first surviving brother, has two other surviving brothers, so if there's a total of three surviving brothers, we cannot reasonably tell him, don't be miyabim, even though there's no Zika, don't be miyabim, you never know, your other two brothers, 100 brothers may die. Say, well, come on, man. Don't you, you never looked at the actuary tables? What's the chances that they're all going
to
die?
You have to draw a line somewhere.
You draw a line at the first one. Actually, some ask. Some of the Shonim ask. From the Sugi and Yuma. But the Rabbanan said, if you're going to be worried that one is going to die, so then how do you draw a line on one?
Right.
And here, somehow, we're drawing a line on one? Okay. An issue that needs to be dealt with, but in any event, as Tosis points out, it's a problem from Yuma. But in any event, that's good for the point. We speak about four brothers, that's the limit. Now, it turns out, according to this, that we have a major nafkamina. If the issue in the Mishnah is the problem of Achotz Kukato, so then it could be talking about 100 brothers, two of whom were married to two sisters. But if it's talking about the Isra of Asravato Mitzvat Yabmin, then the Mishnah means this case and only this case. Is there a problem? There's no Isra of Achotz Kukato. There's only the question of the statistical possibility of losing the other brother, and now this woman falling to the first brother, who will now be unable to act because he went ahead and was miyabim instead of doing a chalitza like we told him. Now, big nafkamina lahalacha between the two approaches to the Mishnah. When does this Mishnah kick in? Only whether we're a total of four brothers, or it's irrelevant how many brothers there were. As long as wherever there's two brothers married to two sisters, you're always going to end up with a problem of a chutz kukata.
The Kiddush of Chalitza being superior to actually...
In this case, to allow me to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. That's not superior. It's the only option to do both. So if I won't do it that way, I'm only going to be able to do one. So the Chalitza of both is better than the Yibum of one. That's for sure we're saying. What? Yeah, you are Mekayim. You're Mekayim mitzvahs Yabin. It may not be the same level as the mitzvah of Yibam, but at least you dealt with the sugya of Yibam. Ashenken, if you marry the sister, you're throwing one out into the street completely without ever having dealt with the issue. Mekayim. I don't see you drinking, I don't know. You know what? I'm getting suspicious. Why don't you take mine? Give me yours. Yeah, let me see. Yeah. Oh, look at this. He's not. Look at this.
Mine has caffeine.
Huh?
Mine has caffeine.
More important.
Oh, these are two different coffees.
One's coffee, one's tea.
Oh, yours is coffee. So wait a minute over here. That means that if that's the case, I can put in my order, in other words. Right, it's only once we have the situation of Yibam that we worry about Aslavata Mitzvah Yabim. We've spoken about this issue before, about at what point Aslavata Mitzvah Yabim kicks in.
This is only when the two brothers died simultaneously.
Oh, we're going to get to that. Oh, very good point. That's exactly where we're heading right now. Oh.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah
B'Yamo. And here's where we get to the problem. Amar Rava Bar Avuna. Rav pointed out that we can make this a little bit more exciting. We could have three brothers who are married to triplets. And I'll show you why this becomes more exciting. On the surface, it seems to be exactly the same issue, right? But what Rav said was that if you've got three sisters that fall to two brothers, now one does chalitza to one, the other does chalitza to the other, And the one that's left, the emtsa'it, over here doesn't mean in terms of chronology, but the one that's left after brother, surviving brother one is choletz, the one. Brother number two is choletz, wife number two. But then the middle one needs chalitza from both brother one and brother two. Weird. So you can't do chalitza just of one of them. Isn't that interesting?
Why?
Why is that? Because, you see, the moment you do chalitza to one, you can't do ever, you would never be able to marry the other one because she becomes achot chalutzato. So besides being the problem of having been achot zekukato, she's also achot chalutzato. Okay. The other brother, the moment that he does that, now the third woman also becomes achot chalutzato. In which case we now have two brothers, neither of whom can really do a proper chalitza, because this chalitza is of a woman that would never be able to be theirs, the yibum.
So why do they need for chalitza?
Ah, because we don't have enough to remove Zika over here, because only yibum, chalitza, and according to one man, the other, maybe death of the woman that we said was a machlokas, maybe. So therefore what the yisod of this is, the yisod of this is that where Zika is powerful enough to create a relationship to two brothers, the only place where we see that the removal of that Zika is sufficient for one brother acting on behalf of the family is where his chalitza is a full chalitza. But as long as there remains some element of a more powerful Zika than there is a chalitza, then every brother has to remove as much as they can of that Zika, so to speak.
So where chalitza is the only option, it becomes elevated.
It becomes
elevated to a more powerful Zika.
No, it becomes lessened in its power to remove a powerful chalitza.
Ah, right.
The chalitza now becomes a powerful Zika, I mean. Yeah. So So now the problem is, Omale Rabba. Now, what are you talking about? Because if you're telling me that a chalitza psula or a chalitza gerua is not strong enough to remove the Zika from both brothers, you got this problem right off the bat. In the case where each one of these women cannot be, did the Mishnah say that nobody's allowed to do yibum? In a case where two sisters fall, or certainly three sisters fall, nobody can do yibum. So then by definition, you've got a chalitza psula right off the bat. Because of Zika. So if it's a chotzkukato, so you got the same issue. So you should say all three of them need chalitza from all of the two remaining brothers. That's what you should say. And understand how you have it both ways. You say, when it comes to the middle one, then I have a chalitza gerua, which we call a chalitza psula. It's a little bit of a misleading term. I mean, it's not that it's a chalitza psula, it's the best we have, but it's a low-quality chalitza. So what's the difference between the middle one, who's getting a chalitza psula because she's achot chalutzato, and the first one, and the second one, who becomes a chalitza psula because she's achot skukato? What is that supposed to mean? So Amalei Rabba, look, if you're telling me, you've come up with this wild idea that the third sister is going to require chalitza from both surviving brothers, obviously what you're saying is, kasavrat yesh zika, vavila chalitza psula. You are now telling me that since the chiyuv of the zika is so powerful on both of these brothers, it is essential to remove that Zika by utilizing the maximum chalitza that's available. That's what you're saying. If you would hold Ein Zika, and the only problem over here was mitzvah yabin, right? And you'll turn around and you'll say, okay, did I say anything about Zika? I never said anything about Zika. I said you can't create a problem mitzvah yabin. Then by definition, you would never have come up with this madness of requiring two chalitzas. Because the only point of two chalitzas is because you believe that Zika is a state that must be addressed. And it's not simply there's a chiyuv to take care of a yavama, right? So if it's a state that needs to be addressed and can only be addressed by removal of the Zika, so that normally a powerful chalitza removes Zika from all brothers, but as a chalitza that is only a semi-chalitza can't remove a powerful Zika from all the brothers, so each one removes what they can from themselves. Fine, fine, fine. All very nice. But now you've put yourself into a very difficult position, because you've basically made it clear that you hold that Zika is an issue and has to be addressed. Then if that's the case, the moment that the first two sisters fell, you've already got a problem of Achotz Kukato before he even dealt with the Chalitza. So how could one brother do the Chalitza on behalf of his other brother if his Chalitza is not a Chalitza that could have been a Chalitza where he could do Yibum? It's a Chalitza Grua. Why can't he do Yibum? Because she's Achotz Kukato. So then all three sisters should have required Chalitza from both brothers. So there's a contradiction in terms in what you're saying. Either you do hold of Zika and you do hold that creates a problem of Chalitza Grua, or you don't. But you can't have it both ways, that only the middle one's got the problem because she's Achot Chalutzato. I'm sorry. That makes no sense at all. So this is what you hold, okay? Let me conclude. Let me point out the three assumptions that you are making. I can't believe that you could possibly walk out under these circumstances. This shows such a power of will and commitment. This is Gemara Interruptus. It's impossible to do this. What is the most exciting? I'm just kidding. Next time you won't come at all. It's better to start and to leave than not to start at all. Have a great day and a lot of hatzlacha. So now, here are your assumptions, okay? First of all, you're obviously saying yesh zika. Because otherwise, what's the problem of a chalitza grua? Okay, so yesh zika. And you're saying that the fact that I can't do Yibum creates a situation of Chalitza Psula. That's the second thing you're saying. The third thing you're saying is that if I have a Chalitza Psula, then I need to go back to every one of the brothers to remove his piece of the action of the Zika. That's what you're saying. Three Yesedis. But if that's true, then Kamaita Nami, the first brother to do Chalitza, also is a Chalitza Psula because he's a Chotzku Katol. So why doesn't the other brother also have to do it? Says Rava, of course you're 100% right. If they all fell at the same time, you're right. There's a Chotz Kukato, of course. I'm not talking about that case, silly. I'm talking about a case where the brothers died one after the other, okay? So now what happens is, even if about Achat Achinami, had they all died at the same time, you're 100% right. Lo Tzrich Lenofu Bezu Achazu. Brother, the first brother dies. Comes along now the third brother, who ends up being a surviving brother, and he goes ahead and he does chalitza. Perfectly kosher chalitza. Normal chalitza, 100%, removing the Zika entirely from this woman. Alright? Now comes, so let's call him Reuven. So Reuven does the chalitza on brother A to die. Brother B dies. The other surviving brother, called Shimon, now he does the chalitza on the other one. Perfectly reasonable, no problem whatsoever, does a kosher chalitza. Of course, the other brother can't do a kosher chalitza anymore because she is achot chalutzato. He did chalitza to her sister. But the other brother can do a full-scale chalitza, perfectly kosher chalitza. Or even. So now, fine. Cholatz Lashima. Now, comes along the third brother, leaving a sister who is Achot Chalutzato of both brothers. Because there were three sisters. One brother had done Chalitza to sister one. One brother had done Chalitza to sister two. Now neither of them can do a full Chalitza to sister three. They can only do a Chalitza Psula to sister three. Therefore, I say, first time you run into problems, in a case where they didn't all die simultaneously, I don't have to literally die simultaneously, but have had to have been zikukas to the brothers simultaneously. In other words, nobody acted before the second brother died and the third brother died. So then, in this case, where they did act, that's why I'm saying, Cholatz Lahai, therefore comes along Reuven, he does his share. His share. Mafka Zikato, he takes off his Zika, comes along Shimon, Cholatz Lahai, and Mafka Zikato, and now everybody is happy. Wait a second. I'm not happy. I'm not happy. Ravuna Amarav is the one who said this. Ravuna Amarav is the one who said before that Rav holds Ein Zika in any case, even in case of one brother. How could Rav be the one to say over here all of these three assumptions? Ein Zika, and that there's a problem, therefore Chalitza Psula. And he doesn't even hold it at first Yesod. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. If somebody else had said it in Rav's name, Nu Melech, say, Trey Amaroya, leave it to Rav. But the only Rav that we saw was Ravuna. And remember, we said before that we don't want to say Trey Amaroya, leave it to Rav. If we have a chance to say that the Man Yomer Yezdik is Shmuel and not Rav, remember that whole conversation? So now, boy, now we're really in trouble. Amar Rav Ein Zika. No. Rav isn't saying that he holds of this. Rav is pointing out the amazing implications of holding Yezika. That's what he's saying. He's saying, look, as far as I'm concerned, everything is very straightforward in this Mishnah. But as far as you guys are concerned, Shmuel is concerned, look at the implications of holding Yezika. Because Yezika is going to create problems all the way down the line. It's going to create the issue over here of the need to remove the Chalitza Kshera. It's going to introduce a whole new term called Chalitza Psula. And therefore the issue would have to be that every brother would have to remove Zika. That's crazy. But that's the implication. So that's what Rav is speaking of over here, is what would be the din if he agreed with Shmuel. Now this is what Shmuel's going to have to hold. So Amar Rav Ein Zika, L'divrei HaOmer Yei Zika Ka'amar. He's talking about according to those who hold Yezika, which is of course Shmuel we saw earlier, right? Rav Yehuda was quoting Shmuel, he said. Now what's interesting is that Shmuel himself says, well, actually, one brother does chalitza to all the sisters. What? Mifteh, Shamin Levi Shmuel Deomar, chalitza ma'ayabin. Wait. We know that Shmuel holds Yezika. And we also know that Shmuel does not disagree with Rav's analysis of the implications of Yesh Zika, which is that you're going to require a Chalitza Kshera. He also recognizes this phenomena of a Chalitza Ma'alya versus a Chalitza Psula. Where do we know that? Because the Amar Shmuel says, in a case where you have two sisters that fall to a Yavam, each one of whom also has a tsara. So in other words, two brothers were married to two sisters and two other women. And they fall now, they both die, and there's a third brother that now has to take care of these two homes. So in that case, the halacha is that if he does chalitza to the sisters, surprisingly, he did not pater the tsaras, which is incredible. Because since he couldn't have been miyabin, he also cannot do a kosher chalitza. Because he can't be miyabin the sister. Now this is a further extension of the idea. We didn't even talk about this possible implication. What is the implication of a chalitza psula vis-a-vis the tsaras? You told me that a chalitza psula cannot remove the zika from both brothers. Can it remove the Zika from both wives? The Tzora and the Achot? That's the question. Says Shmuel over there, he must do Chalitza to the Tzorais, and therefore pater the sisters. Now you'll say, but wait! The Tzora is in the same Tzora that the Yavama herself is in, that the Achot is in. Because since she is the Tzora of an Achot Skukato, and we're calling that similar to marriage, So then she's the equivalent of a tzaras erva. Midrabanan, or however we view this semi-status of Khalid, of Zikuka, right? So you'll say to yourself, so what's the difference? They're both in the same pot. He can't take the achot. He can't take the tzara. So what's the nafkamina? Why should he better do the chalitza to the tzara than do the chalitza to the sister? The difference is that since they are only a secondary result of the sister being an achot skukato, they're only tzarat achot skukato, therefore their chalitza is better off than the chalitza. So in other words, what we're talking about over here is levels of chalitza grua. How bad is it? Is it bad just because she's achot skukato? Is it bad because she's also achot chalutzato? Is it bad because she is the achot skukato directly? Is it bad because he couldn't do even because she's the tzoras achot chalutzato? All of this must be taken into consideration in this new nether world of chalitzas tzulas. Shmuel himself was the one who was supremely sensitive to this issue. And we know it because he said, you have to do the mitzvah of chalitza to the tzores, not to the yevamah. So in other words, he's so sensitive that he holds we have to measure that subtle distinction between the lack in the chalitza, where the chalitza is to a woman that you couldn't do yibam because she's achot skukato, or between the lack in the chalitza because you couldn't do yibam to a woman who is only tzarota. You understand the level of subtlety that he's sensitive to in the chalitza. So obviously he himself demands good chalitzas all the way. And if that's the case, how could Shmuel possibly hold that one brother could take care of all three sisters? Makes no sense at all. It's definitely going to be a chalitza psula in our Mishnah. He contradicts himself. Reuven das chalitza. Brother who dies, Reuven das chalitza? That's what he's saying. Shmuel, that's what he seems to be saying. I mean, that's for sure crazy. Because he's got a dual problem. Reuven for sure is going to make a terrible chalitza because his chalitza is of an achot chalutzato. At least let Shimon go ahead and do it. If you're telling me that I have to be marked on the difference of the chalitza between the sister and the tzora of the sister, alach as kama v'kama, does the Shmuel going to say that what? That if chalitza of Shimon, Shimon's got an option to do a chalitza k'shera. So he's going to say, no, let one brother do all of them. So you should say Reuven should pater now by doing a chalitza p'shula. That's crazy. How could he say echot chalitza v'kula? Says, well, he doesn't really mean echad cholitz v'kula. What he means is, my echad cholitz v'kula, nami dekama, echad cholitz v'kula, meaning the third sister, after Shimon, now, does chalitz on the second sister, so now both of them have a rotten chalitz, right? But remember, there was the third assumption that Rav said, namely, that if you've got a chalitz of psula, then all of the brothers need to perform that chalitza psula to remove the zika from themselves. But that's now another issue. You may well be very, very sensitive to who has the right to do chalitza on behalf of the other, and which woman is the one that can get chalitza on the behalf of the other, and still not hold that when you're doing the best you can, that everybody has to do it. That's now another level of demand, right? So Shmuel, you're right. Shmuel is very sensitive. Shmuel would never have said that Shimon can do chalitza. I mean, that Reuven can do chalitza because to him it's achot chalutzato, and Shimon doesn't have. You have to do the best you can. Shimon has to do the chalitza 100%. But now Shimon does the chalitza. Okay, now you got the third woman. She's got the same problem. Whichever brother's going to do chalitza, it's the same problem. She's achot chalutzato to both brothers, because there were three sisters. In this case, we're saying, what are you telling me, says Shmuel? You said both brothers have to do chalitza. I disagree. One brother can do all of them, meaning one brother can do these two. You don't have to go back. Your third assumption I disagree with. if you're doing the best chalitza that's available in the family, then that chalitza is just as good if it comes from one of the brothers as from the other brother. And they don't have to both remove the zika. Whatever chalitza is left removes the level of zika that exists. That's what I hold. And that's all that I'm saying. I'm disagreeing with your last piece. So my echad l'chulan means of your chalitza l'chulan nami. The karma is referring to the middle one. But he didn't say that. He said kulan. Or kulan karma. He means, in other words, Kiva deruba gabe karele kulam. He's saying that. Since over here, I'm just trying to point out there is no such thing as two of them doing the same. So if one of them can handle two, I call that kulam. But of course I'm not disagreeing that you do need to have the best chalitza under the circumstances. But if there's nothing better, then you take what you can get. And this is the most you can get, then it's enough. Now, that's one approach. Or, you know what? I can tell you that your assumption that there's a difference, since I held there's a difference between the woman and her tzara, and that's a difference in the chalitza, I would therefore hold there's a difference in which brother. That's where you made the wrong assumption. Ki ka'amar Shmuel, the Ibai same, another approach is, Shmuel is ready to say that you need the chalitza lemiftar tsarata. The tsara is not going to be herself tura with a chalitza psula of the achot. However, miftara nafsha patra. Certainly, whatever chalitza you get is good enough to pater the woman that you give the chalitza to. Did I ever say that there's a limit in a woman who gets chalitza, what kind of chalitza she gets? Never. There's a big difference between saying, if my co-wife got chalitza, it's good enough for me. Now, wait a minute. What's good enough for her may not be good enough for you. Because in this case, she's got a real problem. She's an achot shkukato. You're not. You should have better, a good chalitza. Now, that doesn't mean that by the same token, if a woman has an option of getting a chalitza from someone who's not married to a kot chalutzato, or someone who is, that it's better for her to get a chalitza from a guy who isn't married to a kotza, that she is now going to be a kot chalutzato. I didn't do chalitza to her sister. Where did I ever say that? That's a completely different issue. A woman gets chalitza, the chalitza is always good, no matter what. But a woman's co-wife gets chalitza, then since I need to use that chalitza for myself, I need to get the best that I can get under the circumstances, and her chalitza is not good enough for me. Isn't that a different issue? So therefore, you made the assumption that there's only one concept of a chalitza grua. But that's not really true. There's two issues. There's the chalitza grua as it impacts the person who receives it, and then there's the chalitza grua as it impacts the family as a whole. Obviously, I'm ready to say that a chalitza grua cannot be good enough for the woman who needed it better, but I'm certainly willing to say that it makes no difference if the woman gets chalitza, what kind of chalitza she gets. Gets chalitza from one of the brothers. And therefore, I say, in Achinami, there's no problem of a chalitza grua at all. None whatsoever. What do I care? Let one brother go ahead, do the whole thing as far as I'm concerned. So, mifter nafsha patra, therefore the first brother, in this case, were there tsaras? Is there a problem? What's the problem? There's two brothers. Let one brother do the chalitza with all three. But the other brother could have done a better chalitza. Well, it's supposed to be a better chalitza. How can you do a better chalitza? Oh, you're talking about who should get the chalitza? Should it be the achot or the tzara? Oh, yeah, that's an issue. That's an issue, but not the quality of the chalitza. No such issue. I don't know where you got that from. Mm-hmm. See, even though I hold yesh zika, I'm not ready to jump into your assumptions that yesh zika also implies that there's different levels of chalitza. What does one have to do with the other? You go ahead and make an assumption, Rob. Now, once you hold the Zika, the chalitza is not going to be good enough to remove the Zika. Mapito? Yes, Zika, but any chalitza is good enough to remove Zika. No, go disprove that.
And therefore, no woman ever needs two chalitzas.
Absolutely not. It's meshuggah. How would a woman need two chalitzas? What do you mean? Either you do chalitza, you don't do chalitza. It's a contradiction in terms. She won't do two chalitzas. There's no such thing as a chalitza ma'alya. I don't recognize that term, says Shmuel. You made up that term. Chalitza ma'alya, chalitza gerua, chalitza psula. You made up the term, Rav. Leave me out of this.
Well, he does use the term for the
tzara. No, I'm saying, I use the tzara in the sense that where I can't potter her, that's true. But that's vis-a-vis her. It's not vis-a-vis the essence of the chalitza. Yeah. Okay, great. That's really exciting. Now we've got all kinds of new terminology.
What?
Absolutely. What? So exciting.
Degrees and levels.
Fantastic.